None of you know Arabic.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We begin the seventh parak of Hilchos Yontif, Halacha Aleph, Chapter 7, Law 1, in the Masnaim text, page 272 and 273. And the entire chapter, the entire chapter, is the laws of Chol Hamoed. Okay, and yes, in the next chapter as well. I think just about straight till the end. They're long chapters, so we'll be another, I'm guessing about 3 to 4 weeks, and then we'll finish that.
We'll have to work on it.
Yep. And then you'll get from the other volume, we're going to do a Hilchos Chanukah. All right, because that's going to be coming about 3 or 4 weeks for Hanukkah.
So do we need another book? Or
we bought two. Remember, right. I told you to buy two. It's the other one. Okay. Back and forth. Okay. Halach Aleph. Cholo shel moed. Afa pisho lo nemer bo shabboson. The days of Chol Hamoed, even though it doesn't reference them in the Torah by the word shabboson, which means you have to rest and desist from any type of the 39 forbidden categories of work. But since v'nikra mikroi kodesh, it is included in the terms of mikroi kodesh, holy days. All right. So you have to show that there is kedusha in these days, and would it would appear to say you don't do work on those holy days too. So it's a little bit of a contradiction. On the one hand, it doesn't say shabboson, but it does say mikroi kodesh. And what makes it holy? For example, v'rehu's man chagiga b'mikdash. It would be times. During the times of Beis HaMikdash, you would bring your Korban Chagiga, your holiday offering. And we know, the day you brought the holiday offering, there was a special halacha. Aser basias malacha. You weren't allowed to work on the day that you brought your Korban Chagiga. So let's say Sukkot is 7 days. So the first day of Yontif, no one's bringing a Korban Chagiga. But now, on the Chol Hamoed, you brought a Korban Chagiga. When you bring that Korban Chagiga, you're not allowed to work on that day. Okay?
Work and, or malacha?
That Aser Basias Malacha. So, and it's a Gemara in Yerushalmi in Pesachim. The day you bring it, who Aser Basias Malacha, and they bring it from a text, they bring it from a proof of the text, that it doesn't make sense that your Korban is being bought and you're engaged in doing work. So, and they bring all kinds of other proofs, but, all kinds of texts that show from the different texts, on the one hand it appears you can't do work, on the other hand you can do work. So we come to sort of a compromise, as it were, and we'll see that only certain works are allowed and certain works are not allowed. We'll find there's 5 types of work you're allowed to do on Chol Hamoed, but other than that you're not allowed.
And in this case you need the work that it takes to bring it.
Well, obviously the Kohen does the work of...
No, but you have to bring it to...
Bring the animal. That, of course, is obvious you have to do that because that's part of the mitzvah. But work is not. So since there's conflicting verses, so it really is giving you the message that says you can't work unless the kind of work that is necessary for the moed. And we'll see there's 5 types of work, and that's all of permitted work has to fit into that category. Now they're broad categories which will allow an extensive amount of work, but still you'll see the general notion of those work is so that you could stay focused on the yontif still.
It's not like essential services like garbage pickup or...
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Very soon we're going to see what it is. Now, va'osa bo malacha asura. And, I skipped a line. Why are you not allowed to do work? Kadesh lo yeah, kishar yimei achol. It shouldn't be like a regular weekday. Shein bohem kedusha klal. It has no kedusha at all. It's a day like today. Today has no kedusha at all. So you can do whatever you want. If I would act on Chol Hamoed exactly as I did today, then I couldn't even tell that a Chol Hamoed is any kind of a yontif at all. And it is. So you have to limit the type of work you're doing that will not take away from the feeling that it is yontif. It's a yontif that you could do work that relates to the yontif. Now it's much more than a real Yom Tov day, because we already said there's many things. You want to drive to shul on Yom Tov, sorry. The only thing you're allowed to do on yontif is things that have to do with eating and carrying. That's all you need for Yontif. But now you're talking about a whole 6 days of Chol Hamoed in Eretz Yisrael. A whole 6 days, you can't go to the store. It's not going to work. So obviously we have to allow certain things during those 6 days in order to enjoy 6 days of Yontif Chol Hamoed. You know, you're going to have to go to the store. You're going to have to probably put gas in the car. You're going to have to do a number of things. But you have to restrict the things that are necessary for you to do activities that still relate to your enjoyment of Chol HaMoed as part of a Yom Tov. We'll see, we'll expand more, but that's the step down. You have Shabbos, you can't do any work. Yom Tov, you can do work related to eating and carrying. And a Chol HaMoed, you can do work related to your enjoyment of the holiday of Sukkos. Or things that to detract from the non-enjoyment of it, which you'll see once we list the five categories, you'll understand it very clearly. Now, v'osav ha-malach asura, and if you do a prohibited work on Chol HaMoed, makin oso makas martis, you get rabbinic lashes. Because it really is, from the way the Torah words things, the exact prohibited activities were given over to the rabbis. Let's read on. Mitnei shisur medivrei sofrim, because the prohibition is specifically rabbinic. The rabbis explained through the various verses over here that Hashem gave the rabbis the power to determine which activities will keep you in the spirit of Chol HaMoed and which won't. And therefore, it's rabbinically prohibited, and therefore it gives rabbinic lashes. V'lo kol melechas avoda surabo, and not all work is prohibited on Chol HaMoed, ki yom tov, like a yom tov, as I said. There's five that are allowed. Shesofa inyan, the main point of this idea is, but Vorm Shinesterberg, why did we prohibit certain activities? Kidei Sholya Kiyom Chol. They shouldn't treat it like a weekday. Right? It's interesting, the Rishon rings down from Rav Abba Bar Mamel. He says, if somebody would have appointed me to make the rules, I would allow people to do work, real work on Chol HaMoed. Why? If he says it's up to me, I'd say you can go to work.
Who says this?
A rabbi in the Talmud, in Yerushalayim. Rav Abba Bar Mamre from the Gemara, from Yerushalmi. He says, up to me, I let everybody go to work. Why? He says, why do we tell you not to work? Right? So you should be eating and drinking and studying in Torah. Right? What do people do now? They're eating and drinking and fooling around. Acting like a bunch of wild hoodlums. Better they should work. So, but the point being, we don't allow work that will take you away from focusing on the Yom Tov and it makes it look like a chol. So therefore, ki yom chol l'chol davar, you think it's a yom chol for everything. V'ika yesh melachas asuras bo, v'yesh melachas mutaras bo. There's certain activities that are not allowed, and certain ones that are allowed. Now, we'll just tell you now, the five broad categories are allowed, and that's going to be the balance of these chapters, where it defines these five categories. Number one is called a davar ha'avod, where you will have incur a severe financial loss. If you don't do it now, you'll lose a lot of money. Now, so what? So lose a lot of money. The answer is, if you know you stand to lose a lot of money, there's no way you're going to enjoy Chol HaMoed. You know, there's just no way you're going to enjoy Chol HaMoed if you're going to lose $100,000. You know, unless you sign a paper or a document or whatever you have to do, you have to close a deal, or you're going to lose $100,000. Not saying make $100,000.
Lose your job.
Lose $100,000. Let's say you lose your job. Guys, if you don't come to Chol HaMoed, you're fired. You know, and you'll get no unemployment compensation, whatever. You know, boom, that's a $100,000 loss. Okay, that is the main leniency to go work on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. It's because that could be the right. If you say, because there's no way you can enjoy Yom Tov knowing you're going to lose the money. That's one example. Example number two is things you need for Chol HaMoed. To enjoy Chol HaMoed, you have to be able to do these things. You have to be able to get in a car and go shopping. You have to, right? So that would be allowed. Three, a worker who doesn't have what to eat. If he doesn't work, he doesn't get paid. He has something to eat. And you got to say, tell him to take charity. Better he should have self-esteem and work. Let's say you're a carpenter. If you don't carpent, you don't make any money. So you have to go to the wood shop to make the money. That's all. Number four is called Sarchai Rabin, public needs. See, the thing about public needs is generally you need volunteers. And people are very busy. So when is there time for you to volunteer? Chol HaMoed. Let's say, you know, it wasn't they had government workers that were paid for your taxes. You had, you know, let's say a place you need something done for the shul and you need volunteers to do it on the shul, an important thing. Let's say something's broken in the shul and it's been sitting that way for the last 6 months and nobody's got the time to fix it. It's Sarkharam, people need it, right? So Chol HaMoed, people, and more than that, when you're using communal needs, you need to have a lot of people to get it. It's not like one guy. You need like five, six, seven people, all when they're free. No one's ever free at the same time, but everybody's free on Chol HaMoed. And there, it's not for anyone's personal use, it's for the communal good. So that would be allowed as well. And finally, number five is non-craft-like type of work. You know, non-professional work. is allowed. We'll explain all these in greater detail, but those are the five general ones. But all of them, all are with the same idea. It helps you enjoy the yontif, and it doesn't distract you from the yontif. That's the main idea. Okay, let's start with the first one. Ve'elul hay, and these are the activities you're allowed to do. Kol malacha, any activity, shim lo ya'aseh oso b'moed. If you don't do it achol ha'moed, yisham hefzed harbei. There'll be a great loss. So in that case, osin also, you can do it, but there's still many conditions to allow you to do this. Ubevachol ye'ba toireach harbei. But it shouldn't be something that causes excessive work. Okay? Because if it's excessive work, then you've defeated the purpose anyway. It's going to take all 6 days of Chol HaMoed, non-stop, 24 hours, for me to get involved in that. Well, that would be considered excessive, and that would be a problem. Ketzus, let's give a few examples for this. Let's say, Mashkin Beis Hashlochin B'Moed. You're allowed to water a field of parched land on Chol HaMoed. In other words, if you don't water this field for a week, the land will get damaged. The land, you know, I'm not a farmer, I can't tell you, but certain lands that are considered that if you don't irrigate them, they will go down and it will be a significant loss. So that, you're allowed to irrigate such a field. Avalo beis hamashke, but not a well-irrigated field. You know, it's a well-irrigated field, so what do you have to bother? It's not going to be any financial loss. Shimlo yashka beis hashlochin, because you don't irrigate the parched field. And it's a dry land. Then yivsu bo ilonis, the trees will be damaged. The trees which are nurturing from the ground, and it could wreck up your whole crop, if possible. Again, I'm not a farmer, but I guess there are scenarios like that. So then you could do that. So that would be considered a big financial loss. However, even within that category, you can't use excessive labor. So, because you mashka, so now you're going to irrigate it. So you have to do it in a way that takes the least amount of effort. So you cannot, you know, just take a well and take a bucket and start, you know, taking buckets to the field, because you're going to be taking buckets all day long. You know, go schlep take a bucket to the bottom of the well, pick it up, carry the bucket all over the side of the field, dump it out, go back to the well. You could be doing like 500 times going there. That would be excessive work, so you couldn't do that. Oh, me mehak shomim, or from the rainwater. I guess the rainwater is stored up somewhere and you're bucketing it out. That's a big undertaking. Aval mashku min ha'mayim, but he can irrigate it from a spring. Meaning to say, there's a spring and that's there, and all you got to do is make a little path. You extend the path so the spring will just flow on its own and spill out into everything else. That's much less work, and that's okay. Regardless if the spring was there before or the spring came after, whatever, you can do this. And what do? Mamshicho, you extend the spring, umashko, and irrigate the field. V'chein kol v'yosra, and anything similar to that. So rule number one is a big damage. And if it doesn't take excessive work, then you can be involved in doing that. Now we can give other examples of this type of leniency. Gimel. Haifech Adam Ezesov. A person can turn over the olives that are in the olive press, the moed on the moed, and not only that, the toichan also, and you can grind them, the derech also, and step on them, umamala chavias, and you can fill them into the barrels, the guf, and seal the barrels of sunk there, shos v'chol. Why? It appears that when the olives are ready, you've got to squeeze them at the time when they're ready. It seems you miss that time, you could lose the whole olive crop. So once they're in the barrels or whatever, in the press, then you've got to do all the activities that it needs, and if you don't do the activities, you stand to lose the whole harvest. So that would be a big loss. Now, kol sheyesh bo hefsid, anything where there's a loss, im lo nas, if you don't do it now, then oseo kedarko, you can do it the normal way, you don't have to do it in an unusual fashion, you can do it exactly how you have to do it, because this is something where it's totally permitted. Similarly, let's say you want to bring fruits into your house because of robbers. Right? Same idea. That's a big job. The robbers, there's Midianites in the times of, Yiftach? No, not Yiftach. Was it Yiftach? Remember in Shmuel? Where they would, the Midianim would come and take all their crops. Right? So you have to go and hide it. So a person can bring his fruits, Gidon, right? Because of the ganavim, ubovar on the kedushin she'achnisem betzinam, but do it quietly, discreetly. Now, if it's not possible to do it discreetly, then you can even do it publicly. Now, why don't you do it discreetly? Because in this specific case, they say, is because it's not 100% sure you're going to lose it, because it's not 100% sure none of them are going to steal it. It could be they're going to steal it, and you're afraid they're going to steal it. So then you can do that. So we try to do it clandestinely, so people don't see you doing this. But if you have to, you can. But again, it should be done. It's better to do it in a way that people don't see, because it's not a for sure loss. Next, v'shoyla pishtana min ha-mishra, and you can bring out flax from the soaking vat. In other words, they soaked flax and dyed them different colors. So I guess a certain amount of time you leave it in there. If you leave it too long, it'll get wrecked up. So you can pull it out, so they don't get wrecked up. And a vineyard where it's time to do the picking of the grapes. Boats, you know, so you can pick the grapes as well. Because again, if you don't pick at the right time, a week, and it's mamish daily sensitive. If this is the day, this is the day. You're going to wait, well, it's chomer, I'm going to wait a week. Psh, finished. You've lost the whole crop.
Instead of giving all these examples, why don't they just say if something is time dependent, you can.
Well, they're giving you all kinds of examples, so you get a good feel for this halacha, that's all. So I guess everyone's a little bit different than the other, and he's bringing good examples of the Gemara gave. So why this, why not that? I don't know. I can't tell you why they're picking specific examples.
But they all are time dependent, basically.
Is there a new
Well, that's what every dover of it is. If it wasn't time dependent, then why do you have to do it? If you could have waited a week, you could have waited a week. Right? So obviously they're all time dependent. Okay, now another important condition in this, even though we allow you to do it, but still there's certain conditions. A person should not consciously have in mind to delay doing these things for Chol HaMoed. And to leave them, in other words, you could have done it 2 weeks before Yom Tov. And now you feel, well, Chol HaMoed, I can't work anyway. So I must have something to do on Chol HaMoed, so I'm going to leave the whole job for then. Right? Can't do that. Kidei lasa b'moed, maybe shupori. I'm with you because I have lots of free time. Right? You can't do that. That's why in general we shouldn't leave a lot of these things. You know, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, all these things. You know, unless it's impossible, unless it's so hard to get an appointment. But I'm saying in general, say, well, you know, during school it's hard. You got to pull the kid out of school. You got to do this, you got to do that. Oh, we'll go on Chol HaMoed. We'll go spend the whole week going to dentists and doctors and things like that. That is not exactly in the spirit. You don't have to go. But again, if it's a specialist and you waited 6 months and this is the date and you don't take it, then you have to wait 6 months. Okay, then of course you could. But in general, you don't leave work that you could have done early. Just leave it because you have lots of time on Chol HaMoed. V'chol ha-mechavin malachto v'ini Chol HaMoed v'asov HaMoed. What if a guy did it anyway? He purposely waited to leave the work for Chol HaMoed and he did it on Chol HaMoed. Whatever he did, he didn't have to, he could have done it a week before Chol HaMoed. Now he's kind of put it into the situation of Dover Ovid. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have done it 3 weeks ago. But now it's, mamish, we're coming to the end now. If I don't do it now, but what'd you leave for? Well, I left it now because I know I have lots of time. Well, you weren't supposed to do it. What if you did it? So Bezdin ma'abdin also. Bezdin causes it to be lost. We'll explain that in a minute. Umafkir noso lakol, and make it hefker for everyone to take it. So, this is based on a Gemara, and the Gemara says, anyone who does it, the Gemara's expression is, Yovdu. Yovdu means they make it lost. So what does that mean? So some of the portion explains, it means we don't allow him to do it, and you let it get wrecked. That's one interpretation. The guy says, okay, I left all my grapes to be picked. Now I could have done it last week, but I want to look at this week. They say, sorry, you can't do anything. We don't allow you to do it. And that therefore it just consequently gets destroyed. That's one interpretation. And therefore we read the Gemara's word, Yovdu. But the Rambam, when he says over here, his interpretation is that the Bezdin makes it hefker. We make it lost. So if you picked it, fine. You picked it good. Now we're going to take all your grapes and make a big sign. Hefker. Everyone can take it. Ah. So therefore, he would read the Gemara that says, Ye'abdu, we make it get lost. Not that we just let it get lost, we make it get lost. And they bring some proofs from the Gemara, etc., etc. But anyway, so the Rambam Shita is that we mamish make it hefker. If you didn't listen, we mamish make it hefker, as opposed to the other Rishonim that say we just don't let him work on it. We don't allow him to do it. Now, there's later rabbis who do not like the Rambam's psak, and they say a bezin does not have a right to make the guy's property ownerless, and therefore they learn it differently. That, like we said before, that they can stop him from doing it. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rambam, that says we make it ownerless, and the Rama says that if a person, let's say a person works with property that belongs to others, then let's say a tailor or a scribe, so the punishment can't be administered because it's not the guy who really is benefiting that, so we put the guy in Chayrim. If the laborer does the labor, it's not his stuff though, we put the guy in Chayrim. Or you give him rabbinic lashes.
What does that mean again?
Ostracized from the community. All right. Be that as it may, you shouldn't leave this stuff for Chol HaMoed. Okay.
So I take it there'd be no problem in people gathering what was made hefker on your Chol HaMoed.
Well, there's nothing wrong with taking hefker. It's free grapes. I'll take grapes. I want to have some grapes. I'm going to eat grapes. You're allowed to pick grapes to eat them. Why not? Now, v'im kivim alachto. So let's say he purposely left the work at this time. And then what happened? The bezin wants to punish him, but there's a little problem. Vamase, the guy dies. Now, what did the Rambam say? We'd make it hefker, right? Let's say he did it anyway. He went and he gathered all the crops when he didn't have to do it now. He left it for now. So the Rambam said, we'd make it hefker. But wait a minute. Who owns it now?
The estate.
The estate. So who would you be punishing?
The heirs.
What did the heirs do wrong?
Nothing.
So in that case, in kon simbun acher, we don't punish. We don't find the children afterwards. We don't cause it to be hefker. And now we don't stop the son from working on it, so it shouldn't get lost. In other words, the father could have done the work a week before Yontif. The guy says, I'm waiting till Yontif. I don't care. I'm waiting for Chol HaMoed. Then comes first day, Chol HaMoed, Hashem punishes him. Bam, he's dead. Now the son has to now, remember, it's Chol HaMoed. The son can't sit Shiva now. Right? So now what? The son now says, yeah, it's all going to get wasted now. And now it mamashes the dover of it from the son's perspective. He couldn't have worked on it any earlier. So then we will allow the son to work on it because he never did anything wrong. And right now it's in a state of dover ha'ovid. Since the dover ha'ovid for the kid, we allow the kid to take care of it. Continuing. Hey, misha tzarech litpor lo beged. Let's say a guy has to sew his garment. Or to build a certain place on Chol HaMoed. And these are things now that are litzorech moed. We're now switching categories. We're leaving the category of a financial, big financial loss. We're going to the category of things that are called tzorche moed, you need for the moed. You had a shirt, and now it got ripped, whatever, you gotta fix up a shirt. I guess it's your only shirt, you need to wear this shirt. Or a certain spot in the house needs to be, that you mamish need it. We're not talking about you don't need it. Not talking about your summer cottage that you're not in there anyway. Whatever, something in the dining room's gotta get fixed up, or you can't eat dinner in the dining room. Right? So you gotta do certain work. So imha yehed yod, if the guy was not a craftsman, ve'ein amoher, and he's not skilled in this work, right? That means whatever job he's going to do, it ain't a professional job. Hareza oisa sekadaka, you could do it in the normal, non-professional way. V'imhaya umen moher, what if he's a skilled craftsman? Then you can't do it so well. Hareza oso said maisa hetchit. You do it in a non-craftsman's like way. If we're allowing it already, but still, if it's already a craftsman's way, that already makes it look like a weekday activity. But you need it. So we'll do it enough that you'll get by, you'll be able to use it, but it shouldn't look like it's the way you normally do it during the week. So Ketzer, what's an example? But fierce, let's say for sewing, machliv, it's called the doggy stitch. Okay? Which means you leave a space between the stitches and it looks like the teeth of a dog. I don't know what that means. I don't know anything about sewing, but it's obviously not the simple zigzag stitch, whatever. I mean, it stitches it enough to close it and you could use it, but professionally done, it wasn't done professionally. So you'll know there's a difference between this and the weekday. Ubibinyan, what about if you have to build something in the house? Right? So let's say a little part of the wall fell down. So meniach avoni, you put rocks on, ve'ena toch betitalem, but you don't put the plaster, the cement in between. Which the rocks alone will stay for a week. It's not a problem. But to have a professional job rate, that you don't do. V'shach sitke kak. You also can smooth the cracks of the floor. We're talking about the floor of a roof. Let's say you have to fix the roof and there's flat and there's cracks. So you can smooth them. But umagila, and you roll the tar over it, but by yad bregel, with a hand or foot, not exactly your hand, but like a small, but not the way it's normally done. Ke'ein shemagilim b'machlotzaim. In a way that would be similar to with a utensil, but without using the utensil specifically. Okay, kokayos is anything similar to that, yeah?
Is this referring to work that a person, a craftsman does for himself or for somebody else?
It would be any kind of repairs that are necessary for Yontif. It would have to be done in a not professional way.
So if there's a widow across the street now, whose roof is leaking or something.
Okay, so now, okay, then we have to discuss, you know, there's a lot of, when we get into the halacha in the sefer, we'll get into lots of details. Because there could be combinations of two factors, one impinging on the other. In other words, we're saying you need it for Yontif, you do what you need for Yontif. Now we're not saying do a lousy job that it will leak back in, right? So let's say like this, let's say your roof is leaking. So really it's just a one little corner of the roof. So really, all you gotta replace is 10 shingles. Okay? And that will get the job done. But let's say the guy for 10 shingles is gonna charge you like for a half a roof. You know? And then, you know, in another 6 months you gotta do the whole roof and then you have to be paying almost like for the work twice. You understand what I'm saying? So now that would be a big loss. So if it's the kind of thing where, you know, if I do just the shingles, let's say, I don't know what it costs to a roof nowadays. Let's say to a roof is $5,000. I have no idea, right? Well, to do these shingles, he's going to charge you $3,000. You know, and he says, and next year you're going to need the whole roof done anyway. It'll be another five. So it comes out, you're losing three. So if you know that's what it's going to take, then it's got to get fixed anyway, then just do the whole roof for five. Not because it's the need for the moed, but now because you're creating a big financial loss. So you got to juggle a lot of the particulars here. But now, sometimes you can only fix it in an expert way. What if your fridge is broken? You know,
but you should call a boy.
Right. Well, it depends. What if there's a Jew who doesn't know how, can't make a living? So there's a lot. See how all these factors, one will impinge or overlap with the other. So you got to see. But if you're going to call guys, listen, don't do such a good job. So what do you mean don't do such a good job? Yeah. Well, let's say a button falls off. You have to re-sew the button. I guess I don't know exactly. I guess there's a professional way to sew a button on, and it's the way that I would do it. You know, I do in and out and do it a couple of times, and you know what? After a couple of weeks, it'll get loose again, right? So you do it the way I would do it. That's what he's saying. But certainly not in a way that it won't even get the job done. And certainly not in a way that will cause you much greater financial loss at other times. So, you know, let's say the fridge is broken, you gotta repair a certain part. Well, obviously, you're dealing with electricity, you're dealing with safety. Well, I think we'll connect the wires in not such a good way, not a professional way. No, the law is it has to be done professionally. So now you really don't have a choice. It's gotta be done professionally. It's gotta be a licensed guy. It can't be a non-licensed guy to do it. They'll put your life in danger. So it depends on, so you try to get by with a amateur job, unless circumstances would say that an amateur job will cause you a financial loss or will not get the job done, then you do it in the professional way. That's the message over there. Okay, good place to stop. We did the first five halachas. Shkoyach, guys. Had a good night. Good day.